So I realized, like, Daddy God was telling me how valuable I am, restoring my inner value so I can impart to people, to others. I'm not talking just in the religious circle, even at work, you know, impart to others their value, like letting them know their value. Look at it this way. In our parking lot, how many cars are there? 10? Maybe? Okay, who owns a clunker? I do. I own a clunker right now. Okay, maybe $2,000, $1,500 or less. Yeah. But in a parking lot, the moment a Bentley walks in, oh, you like that, Jay? A Bentley comes in here. Or you want a Camaro or something. Camaro is good. Yeah, brand new Camaro comes in. How much is a brand new Camaro? 30? 40? 40,000 car come in. Right? A brand new Camaro, like with all the trimmings and everything. It changes the value of your parking lot. Right? All of a sudden, my clunker, when you take the average, like, whoa, it's near this brand new thing. Increase. The value of your parking lot just increase. You see, okay, here's a principle here. As God restores, you know, your dignity, showing you your true value with those revelation and His goodness, you change the atmosphere where you are in. With this watch, I have talked to presidents of companies. Even before I was employed in that place that I'm working on now, I've testified to its president. I've talked to businessmen and everything, like, oh, nice watch you have. You want to hear a story? You know? And even if someone demeans me, and not that it has happened a lot, like, I know I'm wearing in my hand half of a down payment of a house, at least a condo, or part of it, you know? And no one can take that away from me, that experience and that sense of value that God has placed in me. And I thank God that as He restored my identity, He has restored that dignity. You know? Knowing who you are depends on knowing whose you are. I am my beloved, and He is mine. Daddy! Woo! Ha! This is sonship, people. This is sonship. And the last part of what I want to talk about today, He restored my dreams. But now, in the journey of Matthew 1, verse 1, knowing about intimacy, knowing about, you know, the promise, intercession. Abraham was an awesome intercessor and everything. We step into, like, dreaming the dreams of God. Dreams that are impossible in the sight of men. And yet, you know, their dreams that you share with Heavenly Daddy. Our Heavenly Daddy is a dreamer. Every child of His should be. Dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. You see? He restored my dream. One of the things Grace and I are praying to do is eventually take these values and plant a Filipino church. And I believe it will not stay as a Filipino church, because my heart is for the nations. But right now, the Lord wants us to go back to our people. The Lord wants me to go back to my people. To bring Father's love. You know, to bring this kingdom culture. This culture of honor. Signs and wonders. Like what the Lord has been doing in our little cul-de-sac here. Yeah. But maybe a few years ago, you won't really hear me talking like this. Why? I'm very afraid of going back to the Filipino community. I was involved in, I will not elaborate, I was involved in quite some church spats before. And it was dishonoring and everything. And I've observed churches split left, right, and center. At least in our community. But I believe it happens in most ethnic churches in Toronto. And I hate that. I don't like that. I even know someone whose church name was like Household of Faith. But all of a sudden, their name now is Household of Fight. Well, they got dissolved like a long time ago. Right? But like that was my fear. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And I don't want to be involved anymore with my people. And now I'm admitting it. But somehow, that was the reason why I always want to go to international churches. But Daddy God is just restoring that. He is the dream restorer. You see, if you know who you are, where you came from, you're your heavenly daddies, you're a citizen of heaven, then you know where you're going. Then your dreams get restored. You know? And it is quite a joy. I know a lot of you have awesome testimonies. But one thing I know, I am very proud of my Lord, and I can share to anyone, and I'm not afraid to share to anyone my awesome testimonies. Maybe that would be our difference. You know? Huh. Okay, I'm playing with this thing. Turn off again. So sonship, the journey of sonship. So maybe if you're looking for a title on this, I don't know. Maybe you can call it Sonship 3.0. Because I had Sonship 2.0 like a year ago. Okay? Like knowing your authority and everything. Yeah. I want to start in Matthew 1 verse 1. Have you heard of a preaching starting with Matthew 1 verse 1? Maybe you've heard of Genesis 1:1. The genealogy. Awesome book, right? No, don't worry. I'm not going to bore you. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay. And we'll go back to that. But this is like a summary of who Jesus is. The prophecies he fulfilled. That he is the son of Abraham. You know, the promises of Abraham. When God told Abraham to leave your family, you know, leave your relatives, leave your city, and go to the place where I will show you, because I will make you a great nation. You know, through you, all the families of the earth would be blessed. I'm quoting Genesis chapter 12, if you want to follow it in your Bible and verify. Jesus, it was fulfilled in Jesus. And if it's fulfilled in Jesus, Jesus is not here right now. It's also fulfilled in whom? In us. Whoever bless you will be blessed. Yes, it is fulfilled in the Jews, but also us. Through Christ, we are the children of Abraham. You know? So this is like a pattern. Matthew 1 verse 1. The son of Abraham. Who is the physical son of Abraham? Isaac. How do you characterize Isaac? He is the son of promise. Right? How many years? We have a Jewish... two Jewish scholars here. How many years were the promise was given? It was 15, then, right? From Genesis 12 to Genesis 15 was like 15 years, 12 years. Yeah, but it was like a long time. Yeah, maybe 20 years to 30 years. Okay? Or 35 years. The son of promise, the son of sacrifice. He was the one laid out as a sacrifice. The son of, what do you call this? Prosperity. And like he was like, Abraham was the first cookie, you know? He's the cookie cutter. And then that was transferred into Isaac. The blessing flowed through Isaac. Yeah. The son of promise, the son of intimacy. And then, who is the son of David? Solomon. This one is a different picture of sonship. This is the son who built cities in the desert, who made Israel a superpower, you know, who collected tributes from all around the world, who people, you know, praise and honored because of his wisdom. And really, this journey of sonship for us, like Jesus is the pattern. Okay? According to Steve Long, one of the things I got from Steve Long is actually the Lord, you know, does not want us to be, we just follow Jesus. We follow Jesus as sons, like how his relationship with the Father. Okay? Don't get me wrong. What he wants us is to follow his sonship, how he is a son to the Father. Okay? Yes, the question, what would Jesus do, is good. But what would a son would do to his Father, for his Father? So, yeah. And in this journey of sonship, for Jesus, it is fulfilled. And it's being fulfilled to us even now. There are three questions they always ask you when you cross the border or you fly, everything. The question is, who are you? Okay, what's your name? Where you're from? And where are you going? Everything else comes from those three questions. You know, do you have anything to declare? I remember going back to the Philippines back in 2008. Like, do you have anything to declare? I played around with it. I put like, I declare the kingdom of God is here. And I pass it to the custom guy. Yeah. I guess the Lord honored that. You see, some of these playful things with me and my daddy, God honors. So, yeah. Nothing wrong being playful with your heavenly daddy. Huh. The same questions applies to anyone entering a new place, geographically or otherwise. Who are you? Where are you from? And where are you going? The answer to these questions really hinge for us in the spiritual sense on knowing who God is first. Why? Because if we know who He is, we know how much He loves us, how much He is a Father to us, we can move in that new knowledge, in that new paradigm. Okay. And in Catch the Fire, through the years, that's what the Lord has been doing in my life. You know, I realize like the testimonies, the crazy visions, the dreams, the things that, the exploits. Because really like, because according to Daniel, people who know their God will do mighty exploits. You see, here's a principle I got from my one of my spiritual fathers. The best you is found in Him. Oh! Huh. The best you is found in Him. One funny thing though is the best me always comes out when I'm in crisis mode. You know, that's when I finally find the courage, like, Daddy, I'm crying, Abba, crisis. Ha. Huh. The best me is found in Him. That's why intimacy things, you know, prayer. I'm gonna promote this. Okay? This is my new soaking kit. This is a new soaking kit. It's a Jimbo's interval timer. Reminds me to praise God, to declare His kingdom every 10 minutes. This is what Carol Arnott and everyone in Catch the Fire Maine is selling right now for $30. You can get it for $19.99 in Treadmill Factory. I research it. Yeah. But it's so powerful. I started using it this week preparing for you guys. Yeah, like, wow, Lord. Let's try this. Let's try this. I really wanted to get something like this before. So I started with the iPhone. So even at work, like, you know, the iPhone was like ringing every 10 minutes. Like, wow. The presence of God was just like, okay, there it goes, there it goes. Then I get another solution to a problem I'm working on. You know, it's the best me is found in Him. That's why healings are important. You know, that's why if you haven't been to an encounter, okay, if you haven't been to an encounter, please do yourself a favor. Go to an encounter. Okay? If you know someone here who has not been to an encounter or any of our healing weekends and stuff, we are a church. Like, we're not just like a bunch of people meeting here every Sunday. We are part of a bigger body with a lot of resources, which actually the whole world comes to get things about God, the new things God is doing. Imagine that. I know for some people, maybe you're starving right now and yet you're in the middle of a buffet. Okay? So if you want healing in your life, if you want to know more about God, we have all the resources. And by the way, be plugged in a cell. That's where it all begins. Okay? Be plugged in a cell. And if you're in a cell for like more than 3 years or even 2 years, I would even say 1 year, come on. I would not say be a cell leader. But disciple someone. Disciple someone. Help someone. You know the Lord. Even for once a week, you talk to the person. Now you find yourself talking to 5 people. Then maybe it's a good idea to start a cell rather than having an hour each for those 5 people. That's what cell is. An extension of your family. An extension of your family gathering. That's what cell was for my family and I. And even for what the Lord is going to do for us, that will be it. An extension of what the Lord has been doing in our lives. Yeah, so, identity is the first thing that the Lord, you know, overhauled in me when I first came to Catch the Fire. See, I was a wounded kid. I came here. You guys, most of you know my testimony. I'm an illegitimate, well, that's what I for clarity's sake, I'll use that term. I never use that term again to describe myself. But technically, I'm an illegitimate son of a Roman Catholic priest. So in my country, that is a scandal. And I believe even in this country or anywhere else, you know. I'm one of those plucked out from the hands of abortion. I'm one of those who grew up with a lot of orphan spirit and tendencies. But you see, one word from Heavenly Daddy changes everything. Changes your worldview. Gives you a paradigm shift. One word. One experience of intimacy with Him changes everything. All of a sudden, you have an orphan that can talk to his nation and tell them, your heavenly daddy loves you. We went home to the Philippines 2008. 700 Club took my testimony and broadcast it to the nation. Up to now, they're like repeating that broadcast. I haven't seen it, okay? I knew what was in it because I'm the one who did it. But I haven't seen it. But I've heard of like amazing reports. I'm asking them to post it on YouTube, but somehow they don't want to offend other stuff. So officially, they don't want to put it. Just one of those touch. Hey, let's do this together. You want? Okay. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. Thank you, Heavenly Daddy. You are good. You are good. You are good. We remember our pastors. Bless our church, Daddy. Remember John and Carol in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool? Make it a habit for 10 minutes every day. You know, it's really cool. It is really cool. It's my soaking kit. I'm gonna send several to the Philippines soon. Huh. Yeah. I remember that day I attended this ancient path seminar thing when Daddy God told me, "You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." You see, for those who have heard it before, it's okay. Hopefully you're blessed again. But for those who are hearing it for the first time, see, I call myself before nobody's child. Every time I don't have the latest toy, you know, every time I feel like, oh, our family is suffering again, financial difficulties and everything, I call myself nobody's child. I even have a special song for myself I got from a musical. The worst song in the Elijah musical. Okay? I guess I have to sing it now, right? For those who haven't heard it, I used to say, God, I'm tired. This road has been too tough. God, I'm tired. I think I had enough. Done my best. It's time to say goodbye. God, I'm tired. I'm willing to give it up and die. That was my song before. Yeah, but no longer. Daddy God set me free. Daddy God set me free. He gave me a new identity. He told me I am His beloved. And from there, it changes everything. I believe today, you know, I'm going to deviate a little bit in mind. But there are some of you who are still in that journey of knowing who you are and whose you are. Really, the important thing of knowing who you are is knowing whose you are first. You know? That night in Catch the Fire Airport, I can still remember this demon that has been tormenting me for the rest of my life before, for coming to Catch the Fire, all of a sudden show itself to me in a vision. We were like in a small group. But like all of a sudden, the group disappeared. It was just dark and everything. And I have this demon mocking me, saying, "Hey, I am nobody's child. You know, we're best friends since we were young and everything. And now I'm here to take you." And yeah, something like that. Then she was staring something. He looks like a witch that is across like Gollum, wearing white, dirty white and everything. Then this witch was telling me, "Would you like to have some more? Would you like to have some more lust? Would you like to have some more bitterness and anger in your life? You know, we can have a pity party." Then out of nowhere, I heard the voice of God, my heavenly daddy, first of all, silently, like there was just like a sound, then eventually it came louder and louder, saying, "Ha, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And it was getting louder and louder around me, like he was like marching around me. I cannot see him. And then I saw this demon that was tormenting me before. Like all of a sudden, it was like big before in my sight. It became like a very small, squishy little demon. And I saw the hand of Jesus like that. And then there was this, the spikes, the nails, and it was like it was put between the nail and his hands, and when it was drove through him, that demon was squished and it was gone. And for me, from that day on, I know my heavenly daddy loves me. I am his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. It was quite an adventure, guys, quite an adventure. For those of you struggling in father issues, or like you cannot view God as a father because maybe something happened to you and everything, I want to encourage you today. He loves you. If He can do that to an orphan like me, trust me, you don't want to be like me. My wife knows me. No. My cell leader knows me. My pastor knows me. If He can do that to someone like me, He can do that to you. Amen? Identity. The next thing is, He restored my dignity. See, when we talk about dignity, we're talking about value. We're talking about how valuable you are. First of all, yes, you are valuable. That we always talk about that. Everyone is valuable. You see, in this journey of sonship, first of all, again, just to tie it up, God restored my identity. And then He showed me dignity and how valuable I am. You see, Jesus did not die to make you valuable. He died to show how valuable you are. That the Son of God, Creator of the universe, second person in the Trinity, would give His life for us. It's like a trade. I like Steve Long's analogy. It's like a hockey trade. Father thinks he's getting the best player in you. That's why he's willing to trade his son. You're valuable. Your price tag is amazing. That the Son of God is willing to give it all up. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, this journey about dignity and establishing that value, for me, did not came easy. Especially from someone coming from a culture of poverty and poverty mentality. Most Filipinos struggle with that. Or most people from third world struggle with that. But then, Daddy God reached out to me and gave me awesome, awesome, awesome testimonies. See, and now I know I am valuable. I'm His beloved. And so are you. If He can do that to an orphan like me, former orphan like me, He can do that to you. Then I realize that's what the watch is for. You see, Daddy God told me this is like an engagement ring. What is an engagement ring? When you put it on a maiden, on a woman, saying someone already owns her heart. Like an engagement ring is not just cubic zirconia. Okay? Sorry, we're in a little bit of a business here. That thing just came in. No, not a fake thing. But it's a real thing of value. People spend $5,000, $10,000 for an engagement ring to show everyone around. And it is to be shown, right? If you have an engagement ring, that someone already has your heart and someone considers you valuable. Like highlighting your value. You're already valuable, but someone is highlighting your value. For those who don't know, and I'll just share a little bit about the watch. When I started the internship with Catch the Fire Midtown, God told me, Joseph, give me your time and I'll give you mine. I don't know what it meant. Now I know now, or parts of it. So I realized like, Daddy God was telling me how valuable I am. Restoring my inner value. So, I can impart to people, to others. I'm not talking just in the religious circle. Even at work, you know, impart to others their value. Like, letting them know their value. Look at it this way. In our parking lot, how many cars are there? 10? Maybe? Okay, who owns a clunker? I do. I own a clunker right now. Okay, maybe $2,000, $1,500 or less. Yeah. But in a parking lot, the moment a Bentley walks in, oh, you like that, Jay? A Bentley comes in here. Yeah. Or you want a Camaro or something? Camaro is good. Yeah, brand new Camaro comes in. How much is a brand new Camaro? 30, 40? 40,000 car come in. right? A brand new Camaro, like with all the trimmings and everything. It changes the value of your parking lot. Right? All of a sudden, Mike Lumper, when you take the average, like, whoa, it's near this brand new thing. Increase the value of your parking lot just increase. You see, okay, here's a principle here. As God restores, you know, your dignity, showing you your true value with those revelation and His goodness, you change the atmosphere where you are in. With this watch, I have talked to presidents of companies. Even before I was employed in that place that I'm working on now, I've testified to its president. I've talked to businessmen and everything. Like, oh, nice watch you have. You want to hear a story? You know? And even if someone demeans me, and not that it has happened a lot, like, I know I'm wearing in my hand half of a down payment of a house, at least a condo, or part of it, you know? And no one can take that away from me, that experience and that sense of value that God has placed in me. And I thank God that as He restored my identity, He has restored that dignity. You know, knowing who you are depends on knowing whose you are. I am my beloved, and He is mine. Daddy! Woo! Ha! This is sonship, people. This is sonship. And the last part of what I want to talk about today, He restored my dreams. But now, in the journey of Matthew 1, verse 1, knowing about intimacy, knowing about, you know, the promise, intercession. Abraham was an awesome intercessor and everything. We step into, like, dreaming the dreams of God. Dreams that are impossible in the sight of men. And yet, you know, their dreams that you share with Heavenly Daddy. Our Heavenly Daddy is a dreamer. Every child of His should be. Dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. You see? He restored my dream. One of the things Grace and I are praying to do is eventually take these values and plant a Filipino church. And I believe it will not stay as a Filipino church, because my heart is for the nations. But right now, the Lord wants us to go back to our people. The Lord wants me to go back to my people, to bring Father's love, you know, to bring this kingdom culture, this culture of honor, signs and wonders, like what the Lord has been doing in our little cul-de-sac here. Yeah. But maybe a few years ago, you won't really hear me talking like this. Why? I'm very afraid of going back to the Filipino community. I was involved in, I will not elaborate, I was involved in quite some church spats before. And it was dishonoring and everything. And I've observed churches split left, right, and center. At least in our community. But I believe it happens in most ethnic churches in Toronto. And I hate that. Don't like that. I even know someone whose church name was like Household of Faith. But all of a sudden, their name now is Household of Fight. Well, they got dissolved like a long time ago. Right? But like, that was my fear. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And I don't want to be involved anymore with my people. And now I'm admitting it. But somehow, that was the reason why I always want to go to international churches. But Daddy God is just restoring that. He is the dream restorer. You see, if you know who you are, where you came from, you're your Heavenly Daddy's, you're a citizen of heaven, then you know where you're going. then your dreams get restored. You know? And it is quite a journey. It is quite a journey. And I pray today that for each of us, Daddy God will also restore dreams today. Or at least remind you already of what's in there, you know? Because Daddy God loves us. You see, there's this parable about the treasure in the field. And the treasure in the field says here, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Most people think this is about soul winning. Yeah, it is about soul winning. It's about soul winning, Jesus winning you. He's the one who sold everything he had. He's the one who gave up everything so that he can have you. It's not that the treasure was not valuable at all. It was just buried. You see, our dreams, visions, the capacities, the giftings that Daddy God has put in us, that's what he redeemed. Thank you, Daddy. Glorify your name. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. Amen. My buzzer just rang again. Ha. Yeah. And he is still in that business of redeeming what's in you. If his purpose is just to get you to heaven, then why not just when you are saved, you know, you say the sinner's prayer sincerely and everything, take you away. That's it. Right? But no, he is a creative God. There is still a lot of things inside of us, an expression of who our heavenly Daddy is waiting to go out. For my family and I believe this next step is part of it. You see, each one of us have a God-given work, have a God-given vision. You know? And the key here is if we know who God is and we know who we are in Him and we know, how much He loves us, we are secured in His love, then we can be like dashing sons doing great exploit for our heavenly Dad because we know His heart. We are not afraid. We're not afraid to start cells. We're not afraid to talk to people about God. We're not afraid to talk or pray for sick people even on the subway. We're not afraid to heal people. You know? Yes, it does. I remember the first crippled guy that walked. Remember, one of our prayer meetings, this guy came in with crutches. And Daddy God just told me, go in front, one of the overnight prayer meetings. And I went there. Valentina was there. Who else? Yeah, and this guy came in and said, and I asked him, do you want to walk? And said, wow, that was a very quick question. No one has asked me before. You know, do you want to get healed? Yes, of course. We prayed. And then he was I thought he was going to fall. And he was just putting his crutches down. Then he ran. And wow. Wow. I said wow, Lord. Then that week, I talked to three other people on the phone. One of them was Anne, who broke her ankle around that time, and she got healed. You see, we have so much in us. But the key is knowing who we are and whose we are. The key is knowing God. This is a church of dreamers. Amen? This is a church of dreamers. This is a church where Daddy God has placed a lot of potential. And He actually is not resting until that happens. Amen? I would like to end with this. Matthew 1 verse 1 talks about Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of intimacy, the Son of prayer, intercession, you know, miracles, the Son of sacrifice. But it also talks about the Son of David, like Solomon, who built cities in the desert, established Israel as a superpower, militarily armed Israel, expanded the borders and everything. Talks about the two dimensions of the Son of God. And that is also contained in us. That is also contained in us. And you are in a safe place, brethren, where this can flourish, where this can happen. It has happened to me. It can happen to you. You're in good hands. Amazing pastors. Patient pastors. But I would like you to support them. I would like that sonship thing really actually starts also with serving another. With serving another. With serving your cell leader. With honoring your pastors. With taking care of their needs. You know, by blessing them. You see, the world is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Where you see problems, sons of God sees opportunities. At work, that is my attitude. People always tell me like, oh, we have a problem in this, we have a problem in that. If we don't have problems, we don't have work. Right? We're project managers. Of course there will be problems. But the same thing with sons of God. The world is waiting for your manifestation. The world is waiting for you to be healed up, to be connected. You know? And I pray that today, before we end, you know, you make a decision, I'm going to join that cell. Or if you are in a cell, I'm going to start my cell. Especially if you've been there like for 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. That is a shame for people in China, you know? Yeah. If you've been there like for 3 years, 2 years, you better step up. Even if you don't want to call yourself a cell leader, you have not qualified, you better disciple someone else. I believe I can still do some family talk, right? You better disciple someone else. You better let your light shine. You don't get your light and put it under the bushel and everything, right? You're going to burn your house. Yeah, my desire today, really, just to share to you tidbits of our journey. Yeah, that the Lord will multiply this and even more to each one. That the Lord, you know, when we see each other again, like, wow, you'll tell me, I have this amazing cell, Josh. Like, you know, I got touched by your message a few years ago. I got a kick in the butt. Huh. Yeah. So today, I would like us to stand, please.
Do today's introduction because I was praying for somebody because they were stressed out about stuff that they had to do for their school at UFT. And the prayer was, Lord, I pray that this instrument that is in your hand Lord, that you'd be able to they'd be able to relax and know that you're going to, all the giftings and all the talents that you've put inside of them are for you to play. And that you would begin to flow through this instrument and beautiful music would come out of it. And that's pretty much, I didn't get to do Joseph's introduction, but basically Joseph said to me, he's like, we were in a restaurant and Joseph didn't want to go to the Philippines, and the Holy Spirit told me to tell him to go. And he said, but I don't have the money. I said, I don't care. Tell him you're going to go. Remember that? He's like, okay. I'm like, I don't have the money to give it to you, but you're going to go. Don't worry. And so what happened was somebody actually gave Joseph the money to go. How much was it? I can't remember. $1,500 or something like that. I can't remember what it was. So many thousand or what? I don't know. Plane money anyways to the Philippines across the world. And so he went and these people laid hands on him. They said, Joseph, you're going to be a pastor and we want you to help us start this church in Toronto for people who are from the Philippines. And that's how this whole thing started. And so they've been blessing Joseph and praying for him, and they've been helping him. Ha, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. And so it's been, me and Joseph have been praying. Yeah, okay, more daddy.
Hey.
More for him.
Shh.
And so Joseph was actually almost in tears when he told me what was happening. He's like, I'm really sorry. I want to stay here. I want to do revival. I want to do this, but I really feel that this is the Lord. And I said to me, well, if it's the Lord, you better do what the Lord says. You better do what the Lord says. So, like, you know, the same thing happened with Mike and Gwen. They were like, oh, we want to stay here. We want to do this. We want to help you. But the Lord's telling us to go to Calgary and start a church. And I was like, okay, well, you better do whatever the Lord says. And I just realized, it was just like, oh, yes, and Joseph is always a son here, and he's always welcome here, and he's still going to be around. And I'm still always going to pray for him and call him and whatnot. Ha. And I still love him through his temper tantrums. We always have. He knows. And I still kick his butt whenever he acts like an orphan. And he knows that too. You know? And maybe one day we'll get to do some more adventures. Ha. But I really believe, you know, who's next? Sending one to Calgary. We're helping. One's going to be starting a church. We sent one to Zambia. We sent one to Japan. Who's next? Who's next here? God is going to... Whoa. Feel that? That's Holy Spirit. So Lord, we bless. Grace, get up here. We were going to wait till it was more official. Because we wanted to have a Sunday where we had them up and we sent them out, but we wanted to send them out to something concrete, is what I said. I said, when you have your stuff established and you're ready to go, tell me and we'll bless you. So Lord, we bless. Just reach your hands out. Even though Grace and Joseph aren't leadership anymore, they're still Midtowners. And they still carry the values of our church, which is those who know their God will do great exploits. I've said that from the very beginning. So we bless Grace and Joseph on their new exploit with God. In this season of praying and seeking and gathering and reaching out to a community that is not only fatherless but motherless, to teach them about the Father's love, that they might not be known for church splits anymore, but they might be known for honor, that they might carry that John the Baptist fire. Amen. That restores the sons to their fathers and the fathers to the sons. Ha. Hey, we pray that that same fire would come upon Grace and Joseph. They would restore fathers to sons and sons to fathers. Ha. And that the kingdom would advance forcefully, because Joseph is violent and that he would increase his violence, and the violent would take it by force in Jesus' mighty name. And it would be forcefully advancing, Lord, everywhere they go. And that they would teach other people where they're at to love their city and those around them, and that they would not only bring revival inside of their hearts, but they would bring revival inside neighborhoods and inside lives. Ha. That there would be revival everywhere they go and everything they do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Ah, Jay had a question. I know that as a son in this house, we did mighty exploits. Together with Jay, even personally. Who's next? Who's next? If you think you are, I would like to invite you in front and we're going to pray for you. If you think you are. Okay, let's worship God. Yeah, the front is open. And we just want to impart that, like what we have received from this house. Huh, who's next? But I guarantee you, your life will never be the same again. This is Christianity where, you know, you carry your cross. You don't come here just to do sunbathing. Christianity is from the very beginning a call to death, to self. But he who gives his life, ha! You don't abide alone. Hey, who's next? I want to speak to people also. Like, you want to open a cell. Maybe you just want to start with that. Or you want to disciple people. Or like you're already talking to people and stuff. And you want more. Yeah, if you can step up. Okay. Huh. Yeah. Sure. Oh, come on, raise your hand right now and ask Heavenly Daddy. Oh, shut up!
I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender.
Who else? Come on.
And I surrender all to you.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on now. Desire it from the Lord. Lord. I want to be that one. I want to do mighty exploits for you. Desire from the Lord. Raise your hand high. Daddy, I want to be one of your mighty men.
The last in joy, even sharing in your pain.
Oh, yeah.
And
fire.
All to you.
Sake of you, my King.
promise of new love.